Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is
Not Your Demographic,
a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist. Everybody,
welcome. I don't know. How are you?
Well, you know, because I've been here for like 20 minutes. I have food poisoning, I'm getting over food poisoning.
Always have food poisoning.
This is the third time I've had food poisoning. The first two times were from squid that was not cooked properly, and this time it was cross contamination at the party that I was at yesterday. I didn't think about it until later when I was trying to trace back, like, what did I eat that is giving me this food poisoning. And I realized that the, you know, Bad Apple, the bar in Chicago.
Overrated.
The guy who used to own it is, they've sold it. It's now owned by different people. And the original owners train jujitsu with Michael. They're part of the same, like, family of jujitsu people. And so he was throwing, like, a huge barbecue. So he, like, made all the food for us. He, like, provided all the beer and had, like, this really great open bar. Obviously, he's a restaurateur. Like, he's good at this. Is, like, literally what he does. And so I was, like, tracing back, like, I know he cooked all of his food properly. Like, I'm not worried that that's where it came from. And I started going backwards, and they had made this, like, pitcher of watermelon slushies that was, like, being mixed as, like, a base for boozy slushies or whatever. And so I had one with no booze in it because I was, like, I want to slow down. I'm going to drink something that's not boozy. And I drank it, and going back, there was a cutting board right next to the pitcher. And the stir stick was sitting on the cutting board. And I didn't think anything of it because I was like, it's not in the pitcher. It probably, like, someone took it out and put it down there. And I got, like, the last of the pitcher. So I was like, it's probably fine. Thinking back, someone almost certainly put that on the cutting board that had been used for raw meat and then stirred it into this slushy mix.
Gross.
Super gross. And so I woke up at 6 o'clock this morning and was like, this is my life now. This is terrible. And, that lasted about 7 hours, so I've been having quite a day. Yeah, I had a weird week. Michael's grandfather passed away. We knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. It's been 2 weeks, basically, waiting for it to happen, and it finally happened, so that's been hard. We happened to have therapy the day that it happened, though, so we got to, like, immediately go talk to our therapist about it, which was very helpful. She was great. We, like, talked to her about Bob and how and his life, and at the end of it, she was like, listen, I'm not really supposed to do this, but in this job, I hear a lot about death. I hear about a lot of people who have died. I hear a lot of really sad things and a lot of really great things. And she was like, I just want you to know that you made such an impact on me that I will think about your grandfather a lot and for a long time. And of course, then Michael, like, lost it because he was like, I've kept it together this whole time. We've been together the whole time. And he's like, man, you're really trying to get me to cry right at the end here, aren't you? So it was nice that we got to, like, have that, like, soft landing, which was good. Yeah, but, I mean, personal stuff aside, fucking wrestling was awesome this weekend. I had a great Sunday. We spent Sunday together at the Chicago Pride Parade and then at the Rise Pride and Joy show, and it was awesome. It was super awesome.
It was a really fun weekend.
Yeah, we're gonna obviously talk more about the Rise card. Yeah, it was, the parade was great. I'm really glad we went. I'm really glad we, like, made the effort to do it. It felt like there was just, like, this electric energy there the whole time we were there. It's sad that it got rained out, but, like, we were close to the front of the parade, made the right decision.
Yeah, it was near the end, too, us, at least, because we were near the front.
The ending people missed 60 floats because it got rained out.
Sucks.
Yeah, it was, like, they basically missed, like, half the parade.
Yeah.
Like, that blows. I understand, like, that would suck, but then also, like, don't go to Boys
Town. They saw the gay marching bands, because those were the best
Those
part.
Were dope. They were great. All of them were good. There were not enough, because there should be, like, 300% more marching bands in, like, any parades, basically.
Gay marching bands, specifically.
Definitely gay marching bands. But it was great. It was, I'm really glad that we went and we did it, and, like, it was the perfect cap to then go to this, like, amazing wrestling show afterwards.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. I had a really good 4th of July off. Me and Nick just stayed home and watched Masters of Sex all day, which was awesome. Nice. And it's a way better show than I anticipated.
I've heard it's really good.
I had always known about it. And I've always liked Michael Sheen. I'm obviously, like, really into him now. But, like, Lizzie Kaplan is one of Nick's favorite, like,
she's beautiful. Actresses.
And so it's weird that we never got into it, but we... Because we have a limited amount of time together because of our schedules. We don't watch a lot of... we only watch a few shows at a time together. And this one was just never on our radar. It's surprisingly funny. Like, it's mm-hmm. really well done. I'm really glad that we're watching it. This weekend's really fun. We had the Pride show and the Pride parade. I did some non-Plan 9 burlesque for Ooh-hoo. The first time in a long time. And it was really fun, fulfilling. I made, like, a stupid amount of money, which was, like, really good and fun. I said no to a thing that I really, in my head, thought I needed to say yes to. And then I, like, it was causing me all this anxiety. And I was like, no, you don't actually have to do this. It would literally just be another thing on your plate. Like,
good for you.
Which was a big step for me. And then I took that to therapy and she was like, why do you think you need to do everything? And I was like, I don't know. And then near the end of the session, she used the word enough and I just started crying. And she was like, okay, well, we have to table this. And I was like, bye. So that was heavy, but like good, I guess. It's weird going to therapy for the first time in a while and starting with mm-hmm. a new therapist because there's like so much to catch somebody up on, but then they want to like delve into things and it's interesting. And she's pretty intense, but I do like her. So I'm glad I'm doing that. But right now I'm just kind of annoyed because I had to go into work today and there were like, I served maybe like 30 kids all day and my job, I can't really like do it and then go home. Like I have to wait for specific times right, yeah. to do things. I served the late snack pretty early. I was like, it's chips and salsa. It's not going to go bad. They're not going to get sick. Goodbye.
Yeah.
It's chips and salsa. Salsa sits out at parties for like 8 hours. People are fine. They can, it can be out for an extra 20 minutes. Goodbye. Mostly just annoyed about that.
Fair.
Like,
fair.
Just... Ugh, the woman who runs the center I work at is, like, just such a penny pincher. And it's just like, just close it. You barely have anybody here. Mm-hmm. You sent half your staff home. Just close it for a day. It landed on a Friday.
Yeah.
Stupid. But wrestling was fun.
Wrestling was fun. What wrestling shirt are you wearing?
I'm wearing my Shotzi Blackheart shirt. I never really wear it because it's truly uncomfortable.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Why? It's really cute. Like,
it is really cute. Is it the fabric that it's printed
yeah,
on?
Yeah. So okay. She's got like, it's got this really rad green and black design of her. And like, I love that. Like my
cartoon,
company.
Yeah.
Yeah. My company has got green and black as a logo too. I love it. But it's printed on like a out of the bag Hanes shirt.
It sucks. No.
So I never wear it. But I was like, it's appropriate. Because of the rye stuff, like, it's appropriate, I'll wear it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what I'm wearing. What wrestling shirt are you wearing? I almost wore this one.
I am wearing my Wrestling is Forever shirt. Again, because I don't have enough gay stuff. Like, that's what I've learned is that I don't have enough gay wrestlers merch because I wanted to wear something from the Pride show and was like, I don't think I have a single person's merch on this entire roster.
I did buy the rye shirt.
Or a t-shirt from those people. I do right. have some merch.
I did buy the rye shirt from them because they were like, 100% of our proceeds are going to go to Howard Brown Health. And I was like, here's $20. Goodbye.
I wish it had been in black. I was like,
I know. I don't like it printed on the gray, but I was like, eh, wait, here's $20.
Yeah.
It's just going to Howard Brown, so I'll just wear it.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah, but it should have been, a rainbow rye should be printed on black. I don't understand why it was on gray.
Yeah, I don't
know. Must have been cheaper.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It probably was cheaper to get gray shorts in bulk. Although that is bizarre to me. You would think that black would be the cheapest, but.
Who knows?
Who the fuck knows?
Who knows? Look, we're both wearing wrestling merch. We're doing the podcast. We're
doing the podcast. I took notes this week.
Wow.
We have news items
Aaron's
to talk
all
about.
About it. Let's talk about news then.
That's why I was like, Stella was like, you have food poisoning. You didn't have to come over. And I was like, oh, no, no. I prepared for this episode. We have to do this in person.
That's so funny. All right, well, news.
All right, news. The two things that I really want to talk about in news are two retirements. We have two more retirements from people having injuries that led up to basically being career-ending injuries. Charlie Morgan is retiring, and so is Jack Smith, Sexsmith.
I did not hear about the Charlie Morgan thing. That sucks.
Yes. Yes, it does. I'm not totally sure what her injuries are, but I know that that is why she's retiring. I have a feeling it's probably concussions, not unlike with Chris Wolfe. And then Jack Sexsmith just announced yesterday that he has irreparable damage in his knee and can't, even surgery isn't going to fix it enough for him to be able to wrestle again, which is just fucking awful, truly. Like, that sucks so much to think, like, oh, it's just an ACL tear. It'll be fine. I can start wrestling, especially, like, right now for him to be someone who, like, really pioneered, like, gay people being out in wrestling in this current era that we're in right now. He was one of those people who really
but he's so dynamic. Theoretically, he could move into like a managerial role or something like that. Like, I love Charlie Morgan, but I don't really see her as like being a manager. I could see her
working in like as like an agent or a promoter or like a trainer of some kind. Yeah. But yeah, I don't see
her. But he's got lots of charisma. Yeah. He could hope if he wants to, obviously. Right,
exactly. I mean, you have to get past the like tragedy. The tragedy of having to like
grieve.
Yeah, you have to like grieve from this thing that you really loved, and then yeah, you have to like get past the bullshit and be like, okay, well, I have to exist inside of this. But it does seem really unfortunate that it's like the perfect environment for him to have like a really flourishing career and winds up with this injury. So those are the two things I wanted to make sure that we talked about right up at the top, especially because they are two people who have pushed forward the boundaries of what non-straight white men can do inside of wrestling, and I really wish that we could see more of them. And it's sad that, like, especially after this great weekend, we're getting these two retirements from people who really should be part of this like rising up of queer people inside of wrestling.
It's a big bummer.
Yeah it is a big bummer. Let's talk about other bummers, like chair shots to the head. Hey, did you watch Fyter Fest?
No, because I was stripping and making a ridiculous amount of money. I walked out of one show with over $300. Dude, the face you just and made people was
like, bitch, no.
People literally made it rain. So, several times.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Nice.
I was busy.
It was busy things.
Yeah, it was great.
Good. Well, let's talk about the other thing is, like, honestly, I didn't have time to watch Fyter Fest. We had talked about how we weren't like super stoked for it, again, probably because of the way that it was marketed. It didn't really feel like a real AEW show.
It just felt like a attraction.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. It felt like a house show that they were streaming. And I think that's part of what like drew me away from it. And also, like, immediately afterwards, we hear about Cody and the chair shot, which makes me not want to watch it, to be honest. I heard that the women's three-way match was excellent. That's something I want to go...
After watching, or after, like, being in a room with Nyla and her, yes, like... Because I liked her at Double or Nothing, but her energy is, like, ridiculous and infectious, mm-hmm, and she's got, like, a 1980s sense of humor, and she's, like, so ridiculous, and mm-hmm, I was like, I love you. And also, I, like, am so endeared to you.
This is also the second time we've seen her at Rise, because she was part of that weird big Battle Royale before, where we also saw... Because it was right after she was signed to AEW, and she happened to already be on this card, and so we've seen her, but even, like, that was, what, like, 6 months ago?
Right, because that's when they, took Britt, and Brandi came out and was, like... shitty to...
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so even the growth in this amount of time for her is, like, she is electric. Well, also it's amazing.
Because
she's getting time to shine, too.
On TV, like, presented as, like, a bruiser and, like, mm-hmm, tough and not necessarily, like, kind of a, like, heel, but, like, even if she's a face, it's, like, very intense. But she was just, like, having fun and being silly, and I was like, cool, this is fun.
Yeah, it was great.
I like this a lot.
And I was going to say, too, the other thing about Fyter Fest was, like, I heard that Nyla was one of the best parts of it, but then we immediately got to be in the next room, like, in the room with her the next day. And so, and I enjoyed Pride and Joy so much that I was like, do I want to go back and watch Fyter Fest after this experience? No, not really. I don't. Like, I'm going to seek out the matches that I want, and I will eventually watch the women's match for sure. I did see part of the Leva Bates match. That's one of the only things I saw.
I heard that was a fucking train wreck. Mm-hmm. Because, shocker, she's a bad wrestler. Yeah. She's a really, really bad wrestler, and you can't get away with a gimmick for that long. Like, and, ugh. Truly, I despise watching Leva Bates in the ring, and she is always at the Rise shows, and, like, I don't like the cosplay gimmick. I think it's really cheap. I think it's really lazy and it's often not executed well. And then it's like a veneer. Like, people pop for this cosplay because they're like, a thing that I like.
Yeah.
Woo! In another thing that I like. But then that's it. And then the wrestling and the matches, I've seen some, like, horrible botches from her. And it makes me uncomfortable and I don't like it. And I cannot understand how there's so much insane female talent and, like, this person gets on TV.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know this person, obviously. Like, I'm not shitting on them, whatever.
She's
but,
obviously,
like,
doing something right, clearly. Right. Like, that...
I'm not saying... Yeah, I just, like, as a wrestler...
As someone...
Specifically just talking about the way that things are executed in the ring, and as somebody who's seen her wrestle a lot and has never seen it get better, seen it change,
absolutely.
Like, I don't fucking get it. I really don't. And it... Ugh. And I hate the fucking cosplay gimmick. It honestly reminds me of part of the reason I do Nerdlesque, right? So it's dressing up as specific pop culture characters and doing a burlesque routine about it. But I'm really, really picky about that because to me, it's not cosplay burlesque to me. Like, that's cosplay is I put on a Poison Ivy costume because Poison Ivy's hot and then I take it off and whatever. Like, to me, doing like Nerdlesque is what are you adding to it's like fan it's fiction. It's
also acting.
Right. It's acting. It's fan fiction. It's like, what are you adding to the story? Mm-hmm. How are you embodying this character? What's different? Why are you doing it? Like, it with anything, whether it be classic or not, like, there should be a reason why you're taking your clothes off. Like, I like a compelling story. Like, to me, I think it's like a little vignette, but
that's a great way to look at it.
Right. And so for her, when I see her just put on a costume and then like make a couple terrible jokes and then do a bad job at the things that she was actually hired to do, it's just like so offensive to me on like a really deep level. That one match we saw with her a long time ago with Leva Bates and Ginny, where Ginny just like ripped her to shit. She was like,
she was doing a blow-up radio.
Is that a blow up? These aren't even good props. And I was like, yes, the problem here.
Yeah, I think the thing that really annoys me with her gimmick is that if she was like a fucking bomb ass wrestler, I would accept the laziness of the cosplay, but it's like,
she literally one time just walked out in a dirty white bra.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Presentation is part of this.
Yeah. Also, speaking of presentation inside of Fyter Fest, did you see anything about the women in bikinis that were just like posted up?
And they were like, it's commentary. And it was like, that's not how commentary works.
No, it's not.
That is not how satire works.
Also, when you take actual photos of these women and then send them out in a press release later, and you don't say that it was a joke, you just say the women of AEW, it doesn't look like a joke anymore. It looks like you're doing WCW shit and it's fucking weird. And it's just like, what is happening here, guys? Like,
honestly, if you're gonna do it, where are men and with their bulges hanging out?
Yeah, exactly. They should not have replaced them with dummy mannequins, fucking first and foremost.
Oh, but that's satire.
LOLOL. They should have replaced them with men. That would have been funny. That would have been a good comment on that, to be like, we're gonna switch this out and then we'll take the men
honestly,
out, too.
Honestly, putting the dummies in there is like a bad commentary.
Absolutely. It's like, these women are literally props. And that's like, LOL, that's the joke. And like, that's a bad joke.
That doesn't...
These women get no payoff later, also. That's the whole deal. You just replace them with a dummy and then do nothing with them.
Call in the pit crew.
Yeah, it's... So that's... These are choices that are being made. And again, like, we get it. They're a fucking brand new company. They're trying to figure their shit out. They haven't totally figured out that the elite's humor does not work on a level past being the elite sometimes, then they've really got to figure that out. And, like, that will come with time and with weekly television where you get constant feedback and constant cultural criticism and critique. Like, they're going to figure out. We're going to figure out. Can you learn? Can you not learn? And, like, that's part of this process right now, is it's like you kind of have to be harsh on a new company in order to figure out, like, are you who you say you are, or are you just trying to use us as props to give you money, basically. And, yeah, like, you do have to be kind of hard on that stuff, especially to, like, determine these values. So there's this chair shot. There's a bad chair shot during this show. Apparently the chair was gimmicked and Cody got hit with the wrong part of it. That is what I've heard. It doesn't really matter. You shouldn't be taking fucking chair shots to the head. That should never happen. Like, how many people do you have to know who die because of stuff like that before you're like, maybe we shouldn't do shit like that anymore? And, like, I understand that there was this, like, huge pumped up energy after Cody and Dustin because it felt very much out of, like, this is Attitude Era, but it's now. They're doing the blood, but they're telling this compelling story. And it's like, oh, cool, we've got to keep pushing it in that direction. And, like, this was the wrong choice. Like, this was not the way to do it. We should not have done that. Like, and it was frustrating, too, because the statement that Tony Khan makes afterwards is, like, absolutely not. We shouldn't be doing this. We're not going to be showing this kind of violence on TV. Although it doesn't say we're not ever going to be doing this kind of violence. So does that mean that this stuff is going to happen on pay-per-views, but not on weekly television? Like, that's also still a little unclear. So he says, we're not going to be doing this stuff on television. Also, PS, just going to add on to this one for no reason, because there's no intergender wrestling on this card that I heard. So I don't know why it's being mentioned. But he decides to announce also at this time that there will be no intergender wrestling on television for AEW because, I don't know, Jordan Grace getting hit in the face made him uncomfortable for some reason. I don't know why he wouldn't then watch her powerlift fucking kids. The machine, yeah, and chuck him around, like, that's just as empowering. Like, there is fucking no reason to, like, relitigate this anymore. It's so stupid that we keep returning to it. But, like, he ended his statement by saying, or he wrapped up this portion of the statement by saying that the reason that he doesn't want to see this is because it promotes intergender wrestling promotes domestic violence, which is just the most garbage take. Like, it is so tired. It's so shitty. Like, I'm so tired of people saying that that's the excuse. Like, women are so empowered in these. We don't need to fucking, again, relitigate this over and fucking over again. Even when they lose.
If you're telling the correct story.
Absolutely.
And it's about two athletes telling, you know, whatever storyline, blah, blah, blah. Like, it is a tired opinion.
Absolutely. And friend of the podcast, Joey Ryan, had a nice tweet about it that I thought also is a good point that I think it's left out of this. Again, very stupid take on why we shouldn't be doing intergender wrestling. He said, if your stance is that intergender wrestling promotes domestic violence, then it seems like you're denying the existence of same-sex domestic partnerships. Wrestling should be all-inclusive and for everyone. If that's your stance, then all wrestling promotes domestic violence. Which is fucking true! Like, if you're saying specifically that your company includes everyone and includes all people of all creeds and races and kinds and fucking whatever, you're totally erasing the fact that there are gay people on your roster by saying that only men and women beating each other up is domestic abuse. And, like, guess what? It happens all the fucking time in gay relationships because
It
happens in all kinds of relationships, but the rates of domestic violence among gay couples is especially high because they don't feel comfortable reporting it, especially men against men. They feel like, first of all, men are not taken seriously by the police when they report any kind of domestic abuse, almost full stop, but especially with gay couples because there's this stigma in the police that, like, they kind of deserve whatever the fuck they get. And so this idea of, like, we're going to be super inclusive, but no intergender wrestling because domestic violence, but by gays, whatever, that's not how that works. That's not the same. We don't need to worry about that. Like, it's just so willfully ignorant and it's so frustrating. Like, and it was especially frustrating inside of this environment of Pride, too. Like, it felt especially tone-deaf that you're making this announcement on, like, the 50th anniversary penultimate celebration of gay Pride. Like, it really felt very stupid. Like, again, this is a learning process. They have to learn how to do this shit, and they've got to learn, like, oh shit, we made a bad decision, or we said this really stupidly, and learn how to correct that, but, like, they're not going to do that unless people push back against this. So I was really happy to see that a lot of people were like, that's unacceptable. Like, you need to better explain yourself or you need to change your mind and change your opinion. Like, so I hope that we see better things from that, from AEW intergender wrestling wise going forward.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting how they bridge it to TV. Because, like,
yeah,
if you're going to make an argument against intergender wrestling, I feel like I disagree with it, but there are arguments to be made that I could see more valid points, but, like, just to come out of the blue for no reason, just be like, domestic violence, like,
yeah,
stupid.
Yeah,
it's very dumb.
Yeah, it was not thought out at all.
Any other news items?
No, those were the only ones I wanted to talk about.
Just pull it to your face. Sorry. If you're not gonna lean in.
I gotta lean in.
Like, shut up.
Girl boss or whatever.
I read hashtag girl boss and I've never been more angry in my life. Oh, reading, man. A book. Truly, I read the whole thing because I was like, it has to get better than this, right? And I just felt a deep, palpable rage. And honestly, when she got called out for being, like, a terrible boss and, like, running her company like a monster, I was like, yeah, did you guys not read the book? I don't understand.
Oh, that's funny. I had as a quick Not Your Demo Pod summer reading list update, I only read one book this week, and it was Memories of My Melancholy Horrors, and I've almost never hated a book so much in my entire life. The last time, it literally made me go back and look through all of my records to see the last time I had scored a book so low, because I was like, I literally couldn't tell you. And the answer was 2015, Go Set a Watchman, the garbage follow-up to Kill a Mockingbird, was the last time I hated a book this much. So don't read it. It's terrible.
What's it about?
It's about a man who turns 90 years old and decides that he wants to have sex with a virgin. And so
Why did you even read this?
It's by the same guy who wrote 100 Years of Solitude. And so I was kind of expecting...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was expecting something more like magical realism, that something was going to happen.
What is this called?
Memories of My Melancholy Horrors.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was like his return...
Because 100 Years of Solitude is incredible. It's one of the best books like ever written.
Absolutely. That's why I was like, it's a novella. It's really short. That's part of why I finished it. Cause I was like, okay, this is only, I think it's technically not a novella. It's like 115 pages or whatever. So I was like, all right, well, I got like halfway through it and I was like, it's gotta get better. It has to get better.
When something is so bad, you're like, it has to change.
And like, okay, that's not even the worst part of this story. The idea is that he's been using and sleeping with patroning sex workers for like his whole life, basically. He's never had a wife or anything like that. And so he's like, I've slept with like almost 1,000 women, but I've never not paid for it. And so the idea is that he's like hired all these sex workers. That's part of why I was reading it. I was like, this story is interesting. I'm interested in this idea. And so he decides at 90 that he wants to have sex with a virgin. And so the madam that he had been going to for a long time finds him this girl, but she's asleep when he goes in, but he doesn't do anything. Like, that's the whole book, is he keeps going back while she's asleep and then, like, bathing her and, like, giving her jewelry and, like, redoing her room. And he's like, we're in love. We're having this loving relationship. But she's, like, asleep the whole time. It's so bizarre. And I was expecting we'll get to the end. We'll find out, like, something is happening here. No, I'm going to spoil it. I don't give a fuck. You get to the end and you find out, oh, no, no, she is actually in love with him. She somehow in her sleep has fallen in love with him. And then they live together for another 10 years till he turns 100. That's the book. I'm so furious. Michael came in while I was finishing it. I was like two paragraphs from the end and he was like, what is happening? You look really angry. And I was like, don't talk to me right now. I am almost out of this book. I have to finish it. I finished it and just like threw it across the room. He was like, what the fuck just happened? It was bad. It was a bad book. Anyway. weren't expecting that, were you?
Let's talk about Raw.
Yes, let's talk about Raw.
So Raw opens with Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman going through the it's not a Titantron, because Titantron's the thing above, but the thing that's underneath it, the like digital board, whatever, right. And there's explosions and blah, and it's obviously like, no, I'm not an idiot, it's obviously staged, but it's staged pretty dynamically and well or whatever, and then the lights go black, and it's like, what happened? Blah, blah. And then the lights stayed black for one match. No, for one entrance. And then they went to commercial, and it was like, cool, like, they knocked the lights out, they're going to commit to this, blah, blah. And then the New Day came out, and it was full colors, and I was like, man, I don't even care about this anymore. It was like a really cool way to start. And I still like Bobby Lashley. I don't know why. Just leave me alone. I like Bobby Lashley. And I think they're doing Braun like better, especially considering these guys just had a fucking tug of war match, which is so stupid, like a literal tug of war match. But this was cool and like reignited both of them. And then it seemed like WWE's going to like tell this story. And then they just like didn't. And they kept going.
Evergreen.
They kept going back to it and be like, we're going to check in on Braun and Bobby in the hospital. And then Bobby cut like a promo and stuff. And like, we don't know what's going on with Braun. And like, they're keeping the storyline. But like, man, they could have done some cool shit with it. And it was just like, cool for a segment. And then it was like, oh, same old, same old.
Well, that's disappointing. This is the first show that Paul Heyman has been like the
runner. I guess I thought it was going to take, I think he didn't run the whole thing. He just ran segments of it because there's like, they're easing him into it, but it did have Heyman vibe.
It sounds very Heyman.
It had a very Heyman vibe. As did the live cuckolding. Here for it.
I gotta say, I was following along online while this was happening, so even it, like, I knew what was coming, and when Claire sent us the, like, Raw report, basically, that she sends us, I knew, and then I was still watching it, was like, what the fuck is
right,
that?
So, like, Lacey and Baron have, like, some weird promo where, like, Lacey's doing her lipstick, and he's, like, so you can see her in the mirror, and then he's talking to them, they cut this dumb promo, and then Natalia's like, fuck off, and they have this match, and stupid, and, like, who cares? Baron and Lacey are, like, an item or something, it's stupid. Or they're, like, teasing that they could be the real couple. Blah, whatever. Trash. Goodbye. It was nice to see Natty. Sorry you lost Lazy. Pfft, life sucks.
I mean, Natty's used to it.
Yeah, Natty's a rock star. So then Becky and Seth give this backstage interview to Charlie, and it is fucking awkward. It is so fucking awkward. And, like, Becky's trying to do that, like, charming, endearing thing where she's like, I'm making dumb jokes, whatever, but it's, like, so ham-fisted now. Like, it was ham-fisted before, but it was clearly, like, intentionally from her, but now it's, like, they're capitalizing on Becky TM, the man, whatever. And then Seth just had his little bitch fit last week, so it's hard to, like, watch him and be like, are we gonna go cry about it? What are we doing here? But then they're also, like, kind of talking about the relationship, and he was like, oh yeah, she like wears that to bed to her, and was like, yeah, she definitely fucks in it. We get it.
Yeah.
That's not what he meant, but I was like, this is basically what it sounds like.
And that's more badass than what he was implying. Yeah, she just like daintily sleeps in
it. But it also made it seem like she gives way more of a shit about her title than his, which like than he gives about his, which is also weird. It was like this weird
but fair.
Awkward. Absolutely. But it was just like awkward, and they were like trying to make the relationship seem like cute and endearing. And honestly, it makes the relationship seem like the most staged thing in the world. Like, yeah. Are you even together? Is this fake? Did Vince make you do this? It feels fake. It feels bad. It like honestly, in my head, I'm like, I think this is going to ruin your relationship.
I think it probably will, too. I think
this full stop will ruin your whatever budding relationship you guys are having. This is going to be the end of it for you.
Yeah, fucking for sure. Especially because they've just...
It's so forced and weird.
They just kneecapped Becky, too. Like, that's part of why this feels weird is because it's like, I want to see both of the champions doing champion shit. I don't want to see them doing this mixed tag bullshit. Like, I like mixed tag stuff. I'm into the setups for this and whatever, not but for like...
the main two titles.
Yeah, what the fuck? Like, you're not doing shit with your women's tag division, so why is the women's belt mixed up with all of this, like, here were the dude champions, let's throw this shit in. It just seems like you said, ham-fisted. And also it's like... It feels like Seth is not as popular, so we'll just throw Becky up against him. And, like, man, I wish they hadn't announced their relationship. Like, that's all I feel like is, wow, you guys really should not have said anything at all. Like, or just spend, like, no, we're keeping this quiet. I hate it. I hate it. It makes sucks. Both of them seem weak. It makes both of them seem, like, uninteresting. Like,
makes them both seem give really...
a fuck about your relationship.
And then, like, it also makes them seem, like, not cool. Like, yeah. Don't you want your champions to be cool? They seem lame as hell.
Yeah, and you know what? Cool. Be a lame couple together. I 1000% support that. There's a reason that that shouldn't be in wrestling. Like you said, they're supposed to be cool. Separate them. Let them be cool by themselves so they can go be fucking lame together at home. Like, that's the way it should work.
But anyways,
that's how Renee and Dean worked. That's why it fucking worked.
They talk about how, like, they're the best couple, whatever, whatever. And then Maria and Mike are like, we're the best couple? Hello. And they're like, who? You guys aren't even here. And they're like, yeah, we've been on 205 Live. We're fine. I'm Maria Kanellis. I'm a badass. She almost saves the segment, but then it takes another weird turn. And it was like, okay, whatever. So then they get set up for this mixed tag match. Mike and Seth wrestle. And like, obviously, Mike's not going to win the belt. Like, that's not what's going to happen. They have, like, fine match, whatever. And then, Seth tags Becky and is like, whoa, Maria. And Maria's like, and then Maria hops out of the ring, whatever, tags him, blah, blah, blah. Maria's like, no, 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 don't touch me, I'm pregnant. And everyone's like, and Becky's like, okay, good for you, whatever. And then while this is all happening, Mike gets like rolled up, whatever, or like pinned, whatever. And then they're like, cool, we're the man and the man, bye. We're going to go sleep with next to our belts. Not fuck. We're boring. And then Maria...
Seth and Becky now somehow don't fuck. They do not fuck now. That's terrible.
Then Maria gets to the ring and is like, you're pathetic. You are a weak excuse for a husband. I don't even know how I got pregnant because you are like... Like, how could your weak-ass sperm impregnate me? You're an embarrassment. And she just, like, takes him to task. And he's, like, there. A, he's being... Oh, before this, she called him, like... She said to Seth before the match, why don't you take your bitch to the ring and like, I'll... You know, me and my bitch will meet you and your bitch in the ring or something. So she just, like, called Becky bitch, but then also called her Mike, her husband, her bitch, which I was like, amazing.
Yes. I did like that part.
Amazing. But then so she, like, is really emasculating Mike in the ring, and he's, like, confused because he's like, wait, are you pregnant? And you're yelling at me? I don't know. Whatever. And then she was like, next time I want to get pregnant, I'll get impregnated by Becky Lynch, the man. And it was like, okay, but are you pregnant? Or do you need Becky Lynch to impregnate you? I don't really know what's happening here. But then it comes out they signed new contracts, and Maria, like a fucking boss, was like, I'm pregnant again. Goodbye!
I love it.
It's amazing, and honestly, I worship, like, I love Maria Kanellis anyways. I think that she just, like, is unabashedly, like, who she is. She is a fucking hustler, for real.
Yeah, she is.
Got that carny energy. And
yes,
to honestly be like, yeah, we'll stay in the company, whatever, whatever, and then be like, I just signed this legally binding contract. I am pregnant again is the most baller fucking move. And honestly, even if this cuckolding thing was supposed to be a punishment, Mike and Maria just got to be on Monday Night Raw. When's the last time they got to do that? I'm sure neither of them gives a shit.
Absolutely. They got a lot of they money.
They don't give a shit.
They got a lot of money to re-sign for a 5-year deal too. And like, personally, I do not understand why in this wrestling economy you would sign a 5-year deal, but like,
I get it for Maria and Mike. Like, people liked them, but people aren't bending over backwards. Like, they're not going to get signed at AEW. Like, what are they going to go back to ROH? What?
For why?
ROH, yeah, who's getting like $1,000 in their pay-per-view or 1,000 buys in their pay-per-views? Like, it's like really low and ridiculous. So like, where are they going to go? Or you can grift the biggest grifter and be like, pay for my pregnancy, bitch.
Yeah, absolutely. Fuck yeah.
You know who's really Maria's bitch? Vince McMahon.
Yes!
Truly amazing.
Other people who signed 5-year deals, Mojo and Jinder, which I was like,
I see that makes sense for me too.
I agree. If I like those two, I understand.
In the shadow realm, get the money.
Yeah, totally. 100%. I feel like Jinder could maybe go other places because he's fucking enormous and would be a draw because he's a name that could make money in not
necessarily. It would be a draw of the first go round.
Yeah, absolutely. It would get old sooner or later, and like, you need the money in order to live. Yeah. So I understand why he's like, I'll take the money. Thanks. Bye. So I get that with those two. I wonder who else we're going to see sign outrageously long clauses.
Yeah. The stuff with Becky, or the stuff with Bailey, Nikki, and Alexa, I still find pretty compelling and interesting. I'm excited to see where it goes. I honestly, obviously it feels like Alexa's going to turn, or Nikki's going to realize that Alexa is the bad guy and then she's going to attack her. But like, I don't know. This is like a pretty like subtle story. Like, it's not subtle, but I feel like there's a lot of subtlety in it. Also, we get to see Carmella wrestle, and Carmella fucks. So whatever.
Carmella does fuck. It's true. Although it did come out that she is officially with Corey Graves now.
Yeah, but also, if the other rumors were true that they were actually broken up when they first started getting together, then like, who cares? If
you want to date trash, Oh, it has nothing to do with his divorce timeline. It's Corey Graves. He's trash.
I'm not attracted to him, but like, he has been dressing very well lately, and like,
he's got to step up to her game.
He really has stepped up to her game.
I will. You know what? I will accept that. That's fine, I guess. If she can improve him in basically any way, that's a win for all of us.
All right, that's... Oh, the other thing that we should talk about wrestling is that Drake Maverick is 24-hour champion again, and he has the 24-hour championship on his honeymoon. Who knows, as we speak, he might be like, they haven't consummated their marriage yet, so who knows, they might have been coitus interruptus or whatever.
I feel like...
It's gotta happen. It's so funny. Also, like, good for her. Like, I don't think she's a great wrestler, to be honest. But, like, she gets to be in all of these segments.
She gets it, yeah.
They are...
Hustle.
Drake Maverick knows how to fucking hustle. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
Roger Spudden knows how to hustle.
That's what I'm saying. Like, these two got married for a reason. I'm guessing it's because they both know how to hustle. Like, truly and sincerely.
Still don't understand whatever the fuck was happening on that wedding dress. That was her real wedding dress. That because they, like, had their wedding, and then they had, you know, they filmed the segment. That looks like a wedding dress that you would wear in a fake, trashy WWE wedding. Not your real one. What is that dress?
I think it might be an Indian dress.
I have worked and been to many Indian weddings.
Really?
That is an insane dress.
I mean, I've seen people get married in stuff that looks similar to that.
The colors make sense to me. The cut and
the
style.
The cut was a little weird.
That cut and style is nutso. Especially considering the rest of the decor. And stuff
that's true. It didn't fit
again,
like anything else.
Again, have worked many, many different ethnic weddings. This is insanity. It is insanity.
I mean, I get it. Whatever. Again, it's a wrestling wedding. They are these people. That's the whole deal. They are actually carnies. All of these people are carnies.
Insanity. All right, let's move on to Pride and Joy.
Yes, yes, yes!
It was just a fucking really fun time. At first when we walked in, it was like really sparse on attendance, and I got kind of scared, and I was like, I thought this sold really well. I think people were still coming from the parade and stuff, like that made sense, because like,
it was raining
too. By the end
of
it, like, it was full and like all that stuff. As all Pride shows, like, it opened with a developmental match, which like the people that pulled from their seminars, it was fine. It was nothing to write home about, whatever.
I liked
but it was intergender.
Yeah, it was intergender. the guy, his name was Jay something. Ben knew who he was. His gimmick was like, it's Morphin Time, bitch.
Yeah, he had a bunch of Power Rangers statues.
And I liked both the girl.
We've seen her before.
She's feral. No, this was her debut.
No. She was in that 30 man match, I think, too. We've definitely 100% seen her before.
They announced her as they had been discovered the day before. Both of them were new talent.
I've seen her before. Okay. She's got, it's like if Mary or Crazy Mary Dobson crossed with Nikki Cross, like it's and like it puts more furs on it.
Yeah.
I don't love it. She commits to it, I guess.
I don't think there's anyone else who's doing the same thing in the areas that she's doing it. Like, I get it that it's a nationally like character-ish.
Oh, not even that. I just don't like, it doesn't work for me. Like,
all right, as you're saying.
Doing.
I see.
Or like the character from Glow where she's just like a wolf. It doesn't really work for me. But it was like a fun match, but it was clearly like beginner developmental seminar match. But I like that they do that. Like, I agree. That's how you should do your warm-up matches. Pull people that you've like worked with from the weekends and stuff. Right,
totally.
Kimber and had a match against AQA. She is relatively new too. We saw her last time and she was great. Like, shocked me or whatever. This time, level the fuck up. The Kimber AQA match, there are a lot of really good matches on this show. And Kimber a lot of times is really hit or miss for me. She really is. This match was really good.
Yeah, she was great. This match
was really good.
And also,
both of them, too. It wasn't like one person was carrying it. Like, it was a fun fucking match.
Absolutely. And, too, we said, too, like, Kimber has stopped drinking. And, like, you can see it. You can, like, see it in the way that she moves. You can see it in the way that her body looks. Like, it's clear she did something really good for herself. And, like,
this is one of the best matches I've seen from her in quite some time.
Yeah, totally. I would agree with that. And, like, when she was part of that four-way match at your bachelorette party, like, the group stuff works for her in a way lately that works for me more than her.
See, I hated her in that. I didn't like that.
Oh, see, I was so focused on how much I
hated
didn't
like that match, though.
fair.
To be fair. I hated that match. This I really liked, and I really like AQA a lot.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
A lot. I don't totally remember the order. I think the next one was Miranda versus Candy Lee.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We might get the order wrong. We're looking at the card, but it's not like done in order or whatever. Candy Lee is from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
She is very open, like public trans figure. So it was like amazing that they brought her over. Also, I think it was her US debut. She was fucking so fun.
She
Miranda
was super
comes out
fun.
And cuts like an awful heel, like, because Miranda turned on Kylie and now Miranda's a heel. A fucking great heel, by
the
way.
Yeah, she really is.
She
grows on me every time I see her.
I never really gave a shit about her as a face. She was always like, I mean, and I think this is why she turned heel. She was always Kylie's friend.
Yes, totally.
Frankly. Mm-hmm. And she has like blossomed as a heel. She's a really good natural heel. And she had like a broken finger.
Yes.
Like, I assume that was real and they like worked around it.
Yeah, it really worked. She was really good at it.
Yeah, I really liked Candy Lee a lot. Mm. And they're coming back, which I'm really excited about.
Yes.
I loved her gear. She was so nice. She was like, and was like a really good wrestler. Like, they beat the shit out of each other. They like threw each other railings. Like, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Miranda won because she like pretended that she got like a concussion and then poked Candy Lee in the eye with her
finger cast.
Her finger cast.
Yeah.
I guess.
Also, I think before this too, at this point, we already knew that the hosts were Sunnykiss and Nyla.
Yeah, because they had come out before this.
Right, yeah. So it was really exciting that they were... you can't see this on the stream. I'm sure that they redid this. Or you probably saw this on the stream, but will not see this on the video because they'll probably cut this out. But the music wasn't working at first for their entrance, and so then Sunny just yelled...
No, what happened is that the guy who was counting us down counted too soon, so the stream didn't go live. So then the DJ was like, I'm not going to play the music, bro. Like, we're not on. And then we were all cheering because we had been hyped to cheer. And Nyla and Sunny couldn't hear. I think it was Nyla that said,
oh, okay.
I don't need you to play my music. I'll play my own music or whatever. They just came out and spun around. And then the people around the show were like, we got to do this again for real because the stream hasn't started yet. We have to go again.
It was funny, and you know, I felt like it even gave like a fun atmosphere that was like, not necessarily necessary, but was really nice because it like immediately felt fun and immediately was like, I don't need no fucking music. Who cares? I'm going to come out. People were so excited. And the reason I wanted to mention this too is both because they were really good hosts, both of them were, but also because by the time we get to Candy Lee, this is the second time we're seeing a trans woman on this show, which I have never seen before. Yep. This is the first time I've ever seen a show with more than one trans person on it, I think full stop. And I like,
but that goes for like, not just, that goes for like wrestling, burlesque, other like,
yeah,
because a lot of times people are different or other, and it's like, let's do a pride show, here's our one trans, like transgender person, absolutely, like, which is stupid, like, yeah. This was great.
And like, I as a cis person was very moved by that, and like, I thought it was really important, and I know that there were a bunch of trans people there, and like, I cannot imagine what that must feel like for the first time ever to see multiple people representing your demographic. Like, I'm so fucking happy that Rise did that. Like, I'm so happy. Like, we'll obviously talk more about this as we get more into the show, but like, I love too that they are saying like, this is the direction we're going, because this is how fucking wrestling is supposed to be, that we should have these kind of people equally part of this roster and not just an attraction. Anyway, all right, let's keep going.
I think the next one was the tag match.
Yes, it was.
So it's Jessica Havoc and Nevaeh, they're the tag champs, the Sea Stars, and versus Almost Paradise, which is like the face version of Paradise Lost, and it like doesn't work for either of us.
Yeah. It was funny because Stelly Dovrin was like, ah, Dust, what's, I don't know about all this, and I was like,
honestly,
yeah,
Dust as a face worked way more for me than Courtney Rush, because
it was like,
is,
only after that right. moment that you said it that I was like, now I'm into this. This is getting
thing
better
is, for me too, is like, Rosemary is a really effective face and a really effective heel, so I mean, I get it, maybe you just want to be Courtney Rush again, which is fine, but like, it just felt weird to me and I didn't like it.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, I mean, this is me wildly speculating, of course, but Rosemary's also an Impact character, and like, if she's,
yeah, but it's,
she's taken it away from that, but I can also understand how if she's like, I want to start separating myself from being part of this company, it's good to do that, to be like, I am also this person who existed before this company, and I want people to think of me independently, and then maybe
but
I will
return.
But
she was doing creepy shit as Courtney Rush too.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I just didn't,
I prefer
didn't
Rosemary, but
yeah, it didn't work for me. The Sea Stars are really fun.
I love them.
Ben loves them, so like,
every time I see them, I enjoy them. They're so much fun.
The good one, and then the sister. I mean,
I like both of them. I think that they're both good, but the one
Ashley
is like,
Box is the good one, and then her sister. So I'm not correct.
No, I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah. And then there's Jessica Havoc and her friend.
Yeah, that's right. Heaven spelled backwards.
I mean, like, it's not that the other two are bad, but it's just like, you have in a tag team, like, theoretically should be equal, like the Revival, but like in these two tag teams, and I guess a lot of people would probably make the argument, but we have like a connection to Dust because we've seen her through all of Rise, or
Shimmer.
Zoe Sky is her non-Dust name. So we have a connection, but I could also see for some people, I would be like, Rosemary and her friend.
Yeah, totally.
It although did I feel very much like this person and her friend.
Yeah, it was like the lady and her friend match.
It was great. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those people, like Nevaeh and Zoe Sky and Delmi, like all did good jobs. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like shooting on them. Like, it was a very fun match. And Havoc looked like a beast. Like, the whole thing where everyone kept tagging out to not be against Havoc was fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Because mm-hmm. sometimes, like, Havoc should be a beast, but sometimes I feel like she'll, like, do the, like, beast rally and then nothing will happen because mm-hmm. it's, like, poor booking or whatever. But this one, like, there are definitely moments. It's so hard to book somebody like that, right? Because you want them to be intense and strong and the beast, but you also want them to tell a compelling story and match. So it's, like, how do you, what people can go over, and like, mm-hmm. and they did a really good job with that balance in this match, I thought.
Yeah, I agree. It was, and like,
also I like Nevaeh and Havoc's finisher. I like their tag finisher a lot.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I guess my whole thing is that I cared about everyone more than Nevaeh, but I think that might also just be like kind of personal bias too.
The moment where Havoc caught Ashley Vox and Zoe Sky was dope.
Yeah, that was cool. Havoc fucks.
Havoc fucks, man. Yeah. Havoc rules.
Yeah, totally.
Though, I mean, I don't love Nevaeh because, like, I don't, again, like, I like seeing Havoc as, like, a solo person, and I know that they had this tag team before, but I was drawn to Havoc before Nevaeh. But I will say that this go-round for them as a tag team match, in my estimation, or a tag team partnership, I think Nevaeh is really holding her own, and I think she's doing a really good job.
Absolutely.
I just don't personally connect with her in the same way that I do with Havoc, but it's not like she's dead weight or something.
Absolutely.
Nevaeh does, like, most of the work in a lot of the matches, because then Jessica comes in as, like, the big bruiser, right? Like, and I think Nevaeh is really stepping up to that.
Yeah.
But also, I think one of the first times we saw her, watched her blow her knee out. Like,
yes.
And then it was a really long time before we saw her again. And so we had already, you know, because we were new to watching wrestling. So then we had already really gravitated to certain people. So then when she got plugged back in, when she got healthier, it was harder for us to connect with her, I think.
Yeah.
But that's true. I think that she is holding her own.
Yeah, totally.
As is Delmi, as is Zoe Sky. I think the next match after this was the Joey Ryan match. The King of Dong style Joey Ryan faces the Weapon of Ass Destruction, Double D Rose.
I love Double D Rose.
Here's the thing.
God damn, she rules.
This was exactly what you think it is, right? Like, it is a Joey Ryan match. There's a formula. And then there's somebody who has, like, a powerful ass. There's a formula. This match is exactly what you think it was. And it was fucking great.
It was so good. It was so good.
And it ended in a double kind of, because they knocked each other out with their ass and dick.
So good.
And Bryce, like, then when they hit each other.
Bryce was the perfect person to referee this.
You can't have anybody else do this. Perfect. Bryce is great. And, like, they had a sound effect when they ran each other. And, like, Bryce shook
the camera
his body
shook.
It was ridiculous. It was exactly what you think it was, and it was fucking great.
It was excellent. I love her eye patch. I love that that's, like, a thing that seems like it's been permanently incorporated into her outfit. It's not in her splash card.
Right.
And I wish that she would have an updated one with that, but I get it. It costs money.
She could lose the mace coming in.
Yeah.
You could lose the prop.
Yeah.
You got a prop on your face. Keep the prop on your face.
Yeah, that's true. Of the props I'd prefer. I didn't even notice that she had the mace, so that, get rid of it. You don't even need it.
You don't need it.
I loved it. I also loved the dueling da-ass chant. That was maybe, I've never chanted da-ass at a wrestler, like, with that many people before.
And have it be, like, appropriate.
Yeah, totally appropriate. Like, we've chanted da-ass at her before, but, like, not in, like, a da-ass, da-dick kind of way. It's just like, this fucks, this is awesome.
Also, we were there with somebody who's never seen Joey Ryan before, and she was having a great
time. Oh, man,
time.
She just fell in love with him. Like, yeah, he's magnetic. It makes a lot of sense that you're drawn to it, of course. It was great. And also, I feel like, I really like, too, that they're moving in a direction where they're being more, I don't want to say inclusive, even though that's the right word, because a lot of people use that to say, like, we're being inclusive so that we can have a woman and a trans person, but, like, bringing in more men in different capacities. But, like, this is the second time we've seen Joey at Rise, and I just feel like he does a really good job of not making it about him, even though he is one of the biggest draws on the card.
Job making it not about him all the time.
Yeah,
he knows that he goes to anythings, and even if he wins, he puts people over.
Absolutely.
Like, Joey is great.
Yeah, and I like too that a double countout was the right way to do it, because she's not a big enough star yet to pin him clean, even if it was like my ass and your dick, we knocked each other out and I fell on top of you. Like, I thought it was more appropriate that it was a double count out.
Agreed.
It brought weight to the fact that, like, you can't just beat him out of nowhere. And, like, it also brought weight to the fact that, like, you can't just beat her ass with your dick. Like, I really liked that. Sounded way more inappropriate than I meant.
I think you meant it that way.
I mean, maybe I did, but... But I just thought this was a great match. And I like, too, that we got to see the developmental one at the beginning, which was, like, the comedy, like, 101 match. And this was kind of like a masterclass in what comedy wrestling looks like. And so I thought it was really cool to get to see, here is what development looks like, and here's what development can get you by getting to this point. Like, we've seen her a lot now, and, like, her character has grown enormously.
Yeah, it really
and
has.
It's really fucking good now. And you can see that in the fact that she can level up and have a match this good with someone who's as good as Joey Ryan.
Yeah. I think the next one was Shotzi coming out and issuing her open challenge.
When did the doors match happen?
It doesn't matter. The order doesn't matter.
Okay.
Shotzi has her open challenge where she's like, I'll fight man, woman. It doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
There is one thing that bothered me because it happened twice. It happened with Shotzi and with Mercedes at the end, where they were saying these promos trying to be very inclusive and being like, we're about fighting men, women, the future, the future, you know, trans, you know, queer, whatever. But then it, like, they were, like, listing, right? And then, like, I don't remember what. I think Shati said, it doesn't matter if you have an innie or an outie. And it, and then Mercedes said, it doesn't matter if you're a cat or a dog. And I was like, you guys were, like, really close. It bothered me. It bothered, it really, it for
I'm
me.
I'm not, I don't disagree with you.
It bothered me because it, to me, it made it seem like, it, to me, it took the weight of the statement away. The statement is, we are inclusive. We think that it doesn't matter if you are queer or a woman or trans or anything that is not a cis, like, white man, then we're open to having you come and participate in this company. And then to just, like, tack on, like, cat, dog, silly stuff. Like, to me, it took some of the weight out of it. And I'm not, like, mad at them. It just, like, it popped in my ear and I didn't like it.
I agree with what you're saying. And I definitely felt that way with what Mercedes said with the cats and dogs. I thought the innie or outie was a genitalia reference.
I think it was. Okay. But I think it was an unnecessary reference.
Oh, I see.
Because
what you're saying.
Also with trans people and queer people, but specifically trans people, it's like, but what do you got?
That's true.
Do you know what I mean?
Which is like an inappropriate thing.
Actually,
to
matter. This true. Person is telling you, I'm a female. I'm non-binary. I'm this. It actually doesn't matter if they have an innie or an outie, and we shouldn't talk about it.
Well, that's how I read that. Like
no,
that's
how I read it too. But that is a sexualization of.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Of something that doesn't need to be sexualized.
Okay, I see
and
what you're
so
saying.
So those two things. Even though I know that there was no bad intent behind them, those two things popped in my ear and I was like, I don't like it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
So I just, because it had an effect on me, again, as like a cis person, I just was like, eh, I didn't totally love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like,
and part of that, again, it's moving.
But it's learning. And
yeah,
like,
exactly.
And sensitivity to language and like, you know, there are probably trans people that didn't bother, but like, I don't know, like me, I try and be hypersensitive. So
right,
like
it pinged you.
That bothered me a little bit.
Right, okay.
Anything that like could potentially offend someone, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Again, I don't think there was any malintent behind either
no,
of
not
them
at all.
At all. Literally the opposite was mm-hmm. happening.
It's just one of those things that you have to learn how to speak inclusively because we're not taught that way. We're mm-hmm. just not taught to do that.
Yeah.
And so even sometimes when you think you're doing things the right way, then you can find out like, ooh, maybe I should have used different words here. And like,
and
it's just
also,
a learning process.
This is goes for everybody. Even if you are trying to be inclusive and you say something that offends somebody, specifically if it offends somebody of that like
demographic
that you're talking about, if they come to you and say, hey, I didn't like this because X, Y, and Z, don't be like, well, I was trying, or that's not what I meant. Like, literally shut up and listen and take the note.
Yeah.
Just take the note.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Absolutely.
Always take the note. Like, just take the note.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to learn to take the notes. That's the whole deal.
Specifically if it's somebody from the community
absolutely.
You're talking about
right.
coming
absolutely.
To you.
And even sometimes in those moments, you sometimes have to understand, like, not everyone feels this way in this community or part of this demographic. This person is telling me this, and I need to respect that this person is telling me this.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you can keep that in mind in the future when you interact with that person again. Like, that stuff is important. Just like you do that with anyone else. You know how, like, Brad, Tyler, and Joe of cis straight white man land, like different things done different ways? Everyone is like that.
Yeah.
It's like that in any demographic, and you have to listen to individuals. It's just smart to think forwardly and inclusively and assume that if you're getting those kind of notes, that it's better to just listen. You don't need to give your feedback on why you did the thing that you did unless they ask you, why did you do this thing that you did? Like, then it's appropriate to explain yourself. Otherwise, like Stella said, just take the note.
Take the note. Mm-hmm. This is a good segue, though, because Shotzi does the open challenge, and then a person in a pink jumpsuit comes on, starts beating the shit out of her, and then it's revealed to be Effie, and Effie gives, it's, to me, it works eventually, but it was confusing at first, because it's like, this person, who is a heel, comes out and beats the shit out of somebody in an open challenge, which should be like a match or whatever, but then he gives this very important speech.
Yes, totally.
Where it was like the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn thing or Daniel Bryan thing where it's like everything you're saying is 100% right. But also you are a heel and you just did a very heel thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it helped because at the end things happened.
He bookends it. Yeah.
Right. So he comes out and does this and then gives this really impassioned speech where he's basically being like, great. I'm so happy. We're all so happy that it's Pride. Tomorrow when we wake up, did anything change? are all of these queer people who are so happy to have bookings this month, will they have bookings tomorrow? And he's like, hey, I'm very vocal and open and I run this shit. Like, I will, basically, I will be your, like, queer guardian angel. And if you fuck up, I'm going to come here and fuck your shit up. Like, this open challenge that I just fucked up. Mm-hmm. And he's right. Like,
he was right.
He absolutely is right. He'd be like, you have to book queer talent all the time. You can't just put a rainbow flag on it and be like,
pride. Absolutely. And he said, too, a point that he made that I thought was really important was, these people have to yes sir to management because they're terrified if they say something wrong during June, they'll never be fucking booked again, which is right, which yeah. is absolutely correct. And
that's why
correct. He was
like, that's why I'm here to say yes, this, because absolutely. Y'all have to book me because I'm the fucking best.
Absolutely. It was amazing. It felt, the room was electric. You could hear a fucking pin drop. It was almost like church. There were people who were just like, yes, fuck yes, absolutely. It was just like ping.
Do you
across.
Mean by people, you?
Me and like four other people.
I know.
It was definitely me yelling Stonewall was a riot. There was like a perfect silence and I was like, yes, Stonewall was a riot. And then it just went on and I was like, yes. I've been yelling it all day at Pride.
Yeah,
it was,
all of those cops.
Oh man, I showed up to Pride at the exact moment that the cops were like, going by. Just
like,
flipped out.
Older like white women in front of us did not appreciate us.
I didn't give
cops,
a fuck.
And they were like, boo.
I just kept screaming basically at them, Stonewall was a riot, fuck the police, and they were just like, oh geez. And by like the sixth time I yelled it, they just ignored me. Yeah, I was like, that's the right decision, women. Stay over there.
But then he goes on a tangent where he's like, oh, so we have these two queer talents that have been signed to TV. Ooh, good for them. But they, what did they do? Get to do, like Sonny was just a spot in a sideshow and then like main a match. And he starts to insult Sonny and Nyla. And then Nyla and Sonny come out. And Sonny, or Effie looked at Nyla and was like, did they even know? And then Nyla was like, well, I'm going to kill you now.
Yeah, it was
crazy. But that's the moment, honestly.
So smart.
When he started insulting Sonny and Nyla and like some of the things he said about Sonny, about like you came in to do like a spot and then you got thrown over like almost immediately. And it was a fucking great spot, but like they like paraded you around and then gave you 4 minutes maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Which was like a really valid point. Like Nyla obviously got an actual match, but also it was like a four-way and also she kind of got upstaged because they brought in Kong in her match. Even though I was happy, like, you know, like there are problems there.
Yeah.
And so Effie calling all that out was not wrong and was smart, but then he said a bunch of shitty things to bookend it and be like, oh, remember I just beat up Shotzi and I'm making a really rude, fucking rude, awful comment. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, that's me by
it was
Sonny and Nyla.
Awesome.
And then to Nyla's credit, Nyla takes the mic back as the host and she was like, he was making very valid points, but also this is my party.
Yeah, like, it was great. So
she even reinforced everything that he said. But it was really well done.
It was so well booked from like beginning to end, basically.
I wish that they had cut the video they put online a little bit better because that all needed more context.
Yeah, a bunch of people were like, what the fuck?
Put the monologue on there and I think it needed all of the context. It needed to show the whole segment.
Yeah, you needed basically from his entrance to his exit to really understand what was happening.
But it was a great moment.
In person, it was just like spectacularly booked. It was so well executed.
This may have happened before that. I don't remember, but it was supposed to be table for six, tables elimination match, but the tables didn't get delivered, so it turned into a doors for six match.
Oh, that's why that
and
happened.
Honestly,
I did not know that.
The doors fucked.
Yeah, they did. This match was really fun.
This was my favorite match of the night.
This one was booked, I think Joey and Double D Rose, right? Yeah. That's her name. I think that was my favorite
one.
But
this one
was really, this was up there. I think this might have been my second favorite one.
It was Jake Atlas, Daddy Priscilla Kelly, which we just all are yelling daddy to her.
Damn.
Jamie Senegal, who was fucking great. Mm-hmm. I love them. Big Mama, who's a local talent who we don't love. And then two developmental from the seminar. Mm-hmm. Though I will say, even though I don't love Big Mama, I think she was better this time and they booked her better and she does get nuclear heat. So like, they got it.
Jake Atlas was in this match. He was one of the other
Jake
guys.
Jake Atlas is the first person I said.
Oh, sorry. I totally did not listen to you say that name. I was like, oh, the next one. I'll start listening.
No. Yeah. So basically if you get put through a door, you are eliminated. That's how that works. So the first elimination, and I'm looking at the old card, so I'm sorry that I don't remember this person's name, but it was a girl from the seminar, and they all just, like I think Big Mama just ran into her and smashed her through a door immediately. Like, that bitch
gone.
Was gone. But honestly, from the seminar, she took a brutal, like,
because
it was, like, set up in the corner on the slant, and
Big Mama just, like, not even a spear. She just, like, picked her up and drove her.
Yeah.
And, that, she took it like a champ and was, like, out of there. Mm-hmm. See you later, bye.
And, like, my problems with Big Mama are that she was part of a battle royal the last time that we saw her.
They overbooked her.
They absolutely overbooked her. And they, I mean, in the end, it sort of worked for her because it gave her just nuclear heat. Yeah. People were so fucking furious about this booking at the time. And so when she came out, she still has this heat on her, and which was kind of nice. So I was like, I feel like you're doing this well. And then to execute it right away with not having her be, like, all up in this match the whole time, to have her immediately bust out and do this through the door thing, I thought was a very smart move to use that heat that she already had and to, like, capitalize on it. So I liked that. This match, I liked her more than last time because I feel like she wasn't a victim of having this too strong booking for no one knowing who the fuck she was. So I thought she did a much better job this time. And, like, I am excited to see her grow. She obviously understands how to carry heat, and I like that. I think that's a really smart thing that is not super easy to teach. Like we've talked about before, people don't take criticism and yelling super well. So, like, the fact that she has been able to harness this and continue to work and get better, even in, like, being less booked this time, you could see that her moveset is better and she's clearly been working and, like, training, which I liked a lot. And then they all ganged up on her and eliminated her. And I thought that was a really smart move to, like, get rid of her and not continue to overbook her. And, like, next time I see her, I'll be more excited about it and not feeling so burnt out as I did after the first time.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And then the next person eliminated was the other developmental person. I'm sorry, I can't remember their names. Again, I'm looking at an old card.
Yeah.
And then we had this, like, four-way, which was great. Big Mama was the next one eliminated, and they all, like, kind of ganged up on her. I think she, like, they, like, all ganged up on her, right?
Yeah, okay. It was like, we're not doing this again, bitch. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, she was still the third eliminated, so, like, she's still, and she got
she made it pretty far, yeah.
And then we had, like, a really good three-way match. Like, a really good three-way match. I really liked all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I've only seen Priscilla Kelly in live a couple times, and I fucking love watching her wrestle.
She was great.
She was great.
She's so tiny.
She's so tiny, and you would never know it while you're watching her.
Not at all. I was expecting her
Jake
to be.
Jake Ellis is pretty beefy. Like, or, like, broad, at least.
Yeah.
Like,
I really liked him. I'd never seen him
Jamie
wrestle
before. Jamie said I'm look like, and Priscilla Kelly look like they were in, like, a weird goth gang together.
Yes, so I was just going to say that. It looked like they rolled up to, like, this goth gay bar and were like, sup, everybody, we're here now. Like, I loved Jake Atlas's gear. I thought it was great. Like, the
Jake Atlas and... Oh, okay, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, because the, like, rainbows popped on that black in a way that I really liked. Nice.
Everyone looked pretty good in this match.
Yeah, everyone was really... in, like, even Big Mama's gear, which I think is, like, it's supposed to be kind of dumb and silly looking. Yeah. Like, it works.
Big Mama.
Yeah, exactly. Like, works inside of the context of this match in particular, too. Like, all of it looked good.
There was one point, I think it was Jake Atlas, took a chunk of a door and nailed Priscilla Kelly on the back, and it was the most intense noise.
Ooh.
Like a concave noise. It was nuts.
It was gross.
It was nuts.
Yep.
Jamie Sadagal gets eliminated because he's trying to do a move on Jake Atlas, and then Jake Atlas, like, I think it was a Rana, and Jake Atlas, like, blocked it, picked him up, and smashed him through the door. But Priscilla Kelly was on that door, and she barely got off at the time. Ugh, it was nuts. Then it just turned into a match between Priscilla Kelly and Jake Atlas, and it was a fucking great match.
Yeah.
Just, like, punches and kicks to the face. Her kicks are brutal, but eventually he threw her outside the ring onto a table, and I couldn't see the angle. I thought she died. But then I saw Bryce pop his head up and be like, fine. And I was like, okay, everybody, she's safe. Bryce said she's safe. She's good. Good for Bryce. Thank you, Bryce.
I just totally trust Bryce. It's like, Bryce tells us it's fine, it must be fine.
Bryce is the best.
Yes, absolutely. I would agree with that.
And so Jake Atlas won. It was this was my favorite match on the night.
This was great.
It was fucking great.
This
loved it.
This was super good. I really enjoyed this. Was this... who won the developmental match? Was it the Feral Girl? Or did Mighty Morphin...
To be honest, I do not remember.
I don't remember either.
It was so close at the beginning, and we had just gotten there and, like, drinks and stuff. Like, I'm sorry.
I was just going
to
say...
we just came from the parade.
I think that the Feral Girl won. So if so, then that means that Jake Atlas is... Joey got the double draw. So he would have been the only man who would have won clean on this card, right?
Yes.
Which is fucking kind of crazy to think about. Like, to go to a show where there's only one male winner is...
Yeah, technically, like, Effie beat the shit out of Shotzi, but, like...
But it was a disqualification. Exactly. And,
like,
then he gets
beat the shit out of her, and then, like, she was like, no, ring the bell, I'm Shotzi, I'm a badass, right?
Right, yeah.
But then he
like was strangling her.
Yeah.
And the ref was like, no, 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 this is not how this works.
Yeah, exactly.
There are rules here.
We do have rules here.
So the main event was the legendary Cassandra Alexatico taking on Mercedes Martinez. And I just want to take a moment. A, this was like really powerful because this has never happened anywhere else. And like Cassandra is a legend. But you know who else is a fucking legend? Mercedes Martinez.
Fucking yes, she
is. I've never seen Mercedes Martinez have a bad match, period. And I put that online and people were, I was like, tell me somebody you've never had a bad match from. And people were like, Daniel Bryan and stuff. And I was like, Daniel Bryan has been in really bad matches. He hasn't been bad in them, but he's been in really bad matches. I've literally never seen a bad match full stop from Mercedes Martinez.
Agreed.
Because she, and there was like, one pretty huge botch in this and Mercedes covered it so fucking great and beautifully. Like she is truly one of the most underrated, and like people, I don't mean underrated in that like people don't know that she's good, because if you say her name, people are like, yeah, she fucks, she's great. But underrated in like how good she is and how specifically, mm-hmm. and we've also seen her like take care of people while still being a heel.
Absolutely.
Like that one time that cheerleader Melissa like got like rocked and like they were in a tag, like tornado tag, and like Mercedes like slipped her water and stuff, and like Cassandra like missed a they were trying to go through the ropes, and he hit the ring post and like fell in a really ugly way, and Mercedes like was there but never broke character and like requested water for him in a way that was like, I need him to get water because I need him to be tip top. So
absolutely.
I keep beating his ass. But also I'm being a person who's taking care of this person.
Yes.
And like the match didn't suffer for this again.
Not at all.
Big botch. And I don't blame Cassandra.
Like, I like,
Cassandra
didn't even realize it was a botch
wrestling for
first.
Like 30 years.
Yeah.
Like shit happens. But Mercedes can put someone over, take care of somebody, and still be this like incredible badass. I don't know. I just can't sing Mercedes Martinez praises a fucking enough.
Absolutely.
She is incredible. And I was really emotional in this match because you could just see you could see the light in Mercedes' eyes because she was so excited to wrestle this person.
Thrilled.
In the same way that you could see the light in her eyes when she wrestled Mako. Like,
yes.
Mercedes fucks.
Yes.
Mercedes my appreciate for life. Mercedes
totally.
Fucks.
Absolutely.
I love her. I think she's one of my favorite fucking wrestlers of all time. Like, she is
put her up
so
there.
Good.
She's so
I've
good.
I've never seen bad shit from her. And she seems like a legit person and, like, whatever. Who cares? She is great. And this match was incredible in, like technically, was it the most amazing thing in the world? No. But also, like, I love being at Logan Square Auditorium because you can look up in the balcony and every fucking wrestler was there watching this happen.
Yes.
And, like, cheering.
I love
and
that so
Mercedes
much.
Did, like, a lucha move and she talked about it at the end in her, like, monologue where she was talking about how, like, Rise is no longer a women's only like club. Like this is, we're here to develop, like we're here to be an open, safe space for people of all like creeds to come and learn and be good. Like,
yeah,
this is not a one-time only thing, which was great. And she was the right person to deliver that monologue from her history.
Absolutely.
And that company. But watching all of those wrestlers like cheer and be emotionally invested in this match.
Yes.
And be emotionally invested in their friend. It was just,
It was beautiful.
Great. It was beautiful.
It was really
like,
beautiful.
It was one of those things like these are the things that why I watch wrestling.
Absolutely. And like, I think I cried through like the entire first half of this match because you could just feel it.
You could feel the excitement in the room.
It was buzzing. It was just everywhere. We were in the back row. And so we could see the whole audience basically spread out in front of us. And then it was the balcony and the wrestlers behind us. It was just like everywhere. The whole room was vibrating. It just felt like there was, really, really highly recommend that everyone read Kevin Harvey's open letter. It was really fucking good. I have it pulled up. I can read it if we like have some time. But that's, he talked about how many people came up to him and said that this was their first time. And apparently there were over 100 people who had never been to a live event wrestling show before that came to the show and felt fucking safe.
Yeah, there were
safe.
A lot of people that I hadn't seen before.
And like that people felt safe to be there and to be excited and to cheer for people who looked like them was amazing. And like to be able to recreate that it's going to be a real feat on Rise's part. But the fact that they're committed to it, I think it shows that they're a company pointed in the right direction and that they understand that
we're...
And if
you think about their growth, like, they had this really big growth. They had a moment where they almost fucking shut down.
Yes.
And now they're here again. And, like, it fucks. Rise fucks.
It absolutely
I will
fucks.
See a Rise show. It's pretty long. I will see a Rise show over any other show. I will, if it's up against a show, I will go see Rise.
Absolutely. 100%. I totally agree with that.
Spoiler, we're definitely doing that later this year.
Yep. Show up.
Also, if you book Michael Elgin on your show, I'm not going to go to that show. I'm going to go to Rise.
Yeah, totally.
100%.
Fucking 100%.
Why would I go to that show with a trash human when I could go to like an open, wonderful like company?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone is going to feel safe and included in. Like, yes. There's no contest. Derft.
Anyways, Rise rules, and if they come to your town, you should
absolutely do it. Watch their streams.
Subscribe to their shit.
Yeah,
it's fucking like $5 bucks a month on Patreon.
It's so cheap.
You have $5.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's worth it. Rise fucks. They're the best.
Yeah. Okay. Before we go, we did get one very funny email that we have to read.
Oh yes.
It was so funny because we got it right after we finished last week.
Like literally 5 minutes later. I texted Stella and was like, man, should have just waited like 5 more
and
minutes.
And we met this person at the Rise show, which was awesome. So this is from listener Grant Blake. And he wrote, I was bored and brainstormed some potential sign-offs for y'all for fun. Enjoy. It goes, 1-2 Brie.
See you cage side.
Bye from Mount Olympus.
I like that one a lot. Here's one of my personal favorite ones. Fuck off.
Wrestling fucks.
Wrestling will fuck again.
We live to fuck another day.
When wrestling's got you down, kick out.
Protect the finisher.
Demi Mania.
We're the WrestleMania 14 of podcasts. Which, that one gets my vote.
That was really good. We appreciate you.
Age like Keanu.
Mark's fuck.
We have to read this one in our lines.
Mark out.
Fuck off. hexes and curses.
That one might have my phone.
Yeah. Actually. Mark out. Are you saying mark out me saying fuck off?
Yeah, totally. It's like the absolute distillation of our podcast. Hexes and curses is also good. Taking one more step on our march toward misandry.
Misandry! Hope to see you and say hi at Pride and Joy, which you did.
It was so nice Grant. To see you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I don't know. The two that I like are... We're the WrestleMania 14 of podcasts, and mark out and fuck off. But we're the WrestleMania 14 is so specific to us.
Yeah, it is. People be like, what?
So stupid.
Oh, man. If anyone has one of these that they particularly like or want to vote for, please let us know. These are so good.
You can find us on the internet. I'm at Stella_Cheeks.
I'm at EarnGenC.
You can use the hashtag NotYourDemoPod to interact with us online. If you use it, though, also try and remember to tag us. We're very bad at it. And for being, like, good at social media, we're also quite bad at it.
Yeah, it's true. I like looking through the hashtag, but I like to do it in, like, a big burst after a couple of weeks. Because then I look back and I'm like, ooh, don't remember saying any of that stuff. This is hilarious. We're so funny.
Well, we're fine.
I mean,
where can people find you on the internet?
I just said. I'm at EarnGenC.
You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/NotYourDemoPod, where you can find WrestleMania 14 as well as lots of other stuff.
Lots of other fun stuff. All of our NYD After Dark is available up there.
There's the one about mayonnaise that tickles your fancy. You can rate, review us, and subscribe to us on Instagram. If you want to email us, you can email
us. On Instagram?
Yeah.
Sure.
Rate us on Instagram, but then also go on iTunes. I don't know how to do this anymore.
I don't know what the words are. You can buy our merch at whatamaneuver.net.
Email us at notyourdemo@gmail.com.
Yeah, definitely send us hilarious sign-ups. I don't know if anyone can top this, though. Mark out.
Fuck off!
Yeah!